A very good morning, behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Yud Beis, Sanhedrin 12a, pagination is 23. We'll start at the last third of the page. Chodesh Ha'ibur is the beginning of the line, and then we begin. Tanu Rabbanon, we learned. Ein Ma'avrin Es Hashana, you can't make a leap year of 1 year. Lo mishana lachaverta, not from 1 year to the next, says Rashi. It means that if we know, we anticipate that the coming year is going to need a leap year, we're not going to impose that leap year now. Velo shalosh shanim zu achar zu, and you can't do 3 years in a row being leap years. Just to review quickly, the concept of a Jewish leap year is an entire month is being added at the time of the month of Adar, before the month of Nisan. In general, the months of the Jewish calendar are able to swing either 29 days or 30 days, and that was something Beis Din took care of. But in addition to that, there was a very significant decision that had to be made every few years to add another month. And the purpose of that is to cause the 12 months of lunar to correspond with the solar year of 365 days so that the holidays would remain in their proper seasons. Pesach needs to come out in the springtime. In general, the discrepancy being approximately 11 days is going to cause a leap year of 30-day addition, approximate just to keep things simple, is going to happen approximately every 3 years. What we're told over here is that they have to decide the leap year every year, and they cannot do three in a row. The three in a row is quite obvious. Why not? Because if you did three in a row, you would adjust the time of Pesach into the summer, which is also improper. It's supposed to be in the spring. Usually we avoid having it shift into the winter by adding the month, but if you add too many months, you're going to push it off all the way to a different season. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Shimon said, Maisa b'Rabbi Akiva, there was a story with Rabbi Akiva, Shayachavosh b'Vesu Asurim, he was locked up in jail, presumably before he was executed. V'Iber Shalosh Shanim Zu Achar Zu, and they consulted with Rabbi Akiva, because he was the leader of the generation and an expert in these topics, and he ruled for them to make a leap year 3 years, one after another. The simple read of this statement is that Rabbi Akiva did make 3 years, one after another, and that he ruled on it, and that's what he was doing. He was being Mekadesh the years as he saw fit. Amrulo, they answered, Misham Raya, you're bringing a proof from that. That's totally irrelevant to our discussion. Beis Din Yashvu V'Kavu Achas Achas Bizmano. Beis Din sat and established it, each one in its proper time. Rabbi Akiva only provided guidance for them how they should do it. But when the year came that he said should be a leap year, they sat and established it as he advised them. The two approaches that are considered in our Gemara have great relevance in our understanding of the Kiddush HaChodesh, the Birchas HaChodesh, that we do in our time. The two understandings of this Gemara are, one, that perhaps Rabbi Akiva, seeing into the future, actually was Mekadesh, established what the ruling should be on each of these years that was under discussion, and Rabbi Akiva, in his time, did it. And the other approach, in which Rabbi Akiva was only consulted and he provided guidance, but he didn't actually do anything from the prison where he was. He was just asked for direction. But each Beis Din of their time would have to be Mekadesh appropriately. Those two approaches are approaches to consider regarding our Birchas HaChodesh. On the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, with the exception of Tishrei before Rosh Hashanah, but otherwise, in every month, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, we declare what day is Rosh Chodesh going to be. What exactly are we doing? And one way to explore this question is to consider the words of the Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Yud Zayin, in which the Magen Avraham writes, Noagu la'amod b'shas amiras Rosh Chodesh b'yom ploni. It's appropriate, the custom is, to stand when we declare which day will be Rosh Chodesh. Dugmas kiddush ha'chodesh shahaya me'umot. Similar to kiddush ha'chodesh, which was done while standing. And here we have the concept that the Jewish calendar requires this declaration. And the Magen Avraham says it was done standing, so we should do it standing too. And Rabbi Kiva Eiger asks, Heichan matzinu kiddush hachodesh me'umad? Where do you find that kiddush hachodesh is done standing? If you'll note in our Gemara, the Gemara's final words were, Yashvu, they sat, v'kavu, and established each year in its proper time. What does it mean they were standing? It says they were sitting. And this becomes an eye-opener to really consider what is it that we are doing when we do Birchas HaChodesh. So, the prominent approach, which is the approach that you could see in Igros Moshe, Chelek Aleph of Orachayim, Siman Kuf Mem Beis, is that our tradition is that Hillel, the later Hillel, established the Jewish calendar. They always knew the Jewish calendar. The Rambam describes this in Kiddush HaChodesh, that Sanhedrin knew when the new moon was anticipated from astronomy, but we waited for the actual visual of the new moon so that we would have the opportunity, not through a mathematical calculation, but rather through actual human intervention, to infuse that date with holiness. Rav Shamshon Feil Hirsch elaborates on this in Parshas Bo, where he says that we would think, we modern man, that the mathematical calculation is better and more reliable, but that's not true. The better one is the one in which the human being infuses it with strength. But they knew the calculation, and Hillel shared that calculation with future generations. The question is exactly what did he do when he codified the Jewish calendar? Did he simply advise us, this is what we should do, and it's up to us to do it? We'll see that concept in a moment. Or did he actually codify all the nuances of the Jewish calendar, be it the 29-30 variable of each month, or be it which ones are going to have a leap month, etc.? All of that he codified, and what's upon us is only to accept it. Rav Moshe takes this second approach, and he says that indeed the Beis Din was sitting, but the people are described as those who are standing there. And those people declared by response, when Beis Din said Mekudosh, they responded Mekudosh, Mekudosh. And that's the role of our Birchas HaChodesh in order to accept the ruling that was issued so many years ago when the later Hillel formulated the Jewish calendar. There is an approach, the approach of the Rambam, which can be found in Kiddush HaChodesh at the end of Perek Hey, as well as in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Positive Commandments, Mitzvah Kuf Nun Gimel 153. If you have that in English, you could look it up. Where the Rambam describes that for Kiddush HaChodesh to work in our generation, there has to be a presence in the land of Israel. And the Rambam, interestingly, considers what would happen if, God forbid, there wouldn't be a presence in Eretz Yisrael, which he says will never happen because we were promised we would always have a presence. But if theoretically there wouldn't be, Kiddush HaChodesh wouldn't work. The Rambam is learning that Kiddush HaChodesh from Hillel was only an advisement, or it was a level of Kiddush HaChodesh, but somehow requires that in our time there be a presence in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a done deal that all we have to do is approve it. There's still a need for a presence in Eretz Yisrael. And he's learning that somehow in our generation, a Kiddush HaChodesh is taking place. But again, Reb Moshe's approach is that the Kiddush HaChodesh took place long ago, and that's how many Rishonim assume, and he therefore explains that what we're doing when we're standing by Birchas HaChodesh is that we're receiving the ruling that was issued long ago, and just as the Jews in the time when there was a live Beis Din in front of them, they would stand and accept, that's what we're doing from the ruling that was already issued. Going back to our Gemara, those are the two themes that were considered regarding Rabbi Akiva. Did Rabbi Akiva issue the ruling? In which case, we find that he issued a ruling that's described as 3 years after another, and he ruled on it in advance. Or the other approach, where he only gave them advice, and from there, it was incumbent on each generation to sanctify. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.